I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number two, Sports Saturday, right here on the Fan Sports Network. Thanks for hanging out. Hour number one will be posted wherever you get your podcast, except Spotify, because I think we're still banned from there, as far as I know.
Still no answer as to why, what we said.
I don't think it was a matter of what was said. I think it's because we're playing music like that, technically, and it's getting flagged and
it'll
caught.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, all American rejects are going to be calling and wanting some royalties here soon.
Sorry.
Thanks for joining us. Hour number one in the bag. Hour number two. Someone on the text or on the YouTube chats. Daimler just left last week. Texas economy versus Oregon. Well, you know, Texas economy, have fun over there. If you get caught with a gram or less of weed, you might end up in jail for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
so, you
and
know,
a
have
lot
fun
of
over
other
there.
Things are illegal. And yeah. Texas sucks.
Texas is super cool.
Can we just,
go,
it's fun to visit.
I wonder what Joe Rogan, how Joe Rogan's feeling about that, smoking weed in his studio in Austin, Texas. Like, is he allowed to
well,
do that?
Well, he's a good old boy.
I'm sure Joe's got, you know.
Should I call the cops and be like, I'm watching a live podcast of some guy in Austin, Texas smoking weed right now.
He's got officers inside
what?
The podcast
well, who's,
watching
who,
him do it.
Who? What's his name? Where is it? His name's Joe Rogan.
Oh, he's fine.
Yeah, never mind.
He gets a pass.
No, never mind. He comes to the, yeah. He comes to the yearly.
Who's smoking weed? Dante. Call the cops.
Exactly.
Anyways, can we get some like NFL music up in this piece? Can we get some? There it is. Some bells. Jordan, you need to give me your AFC South winner and your NFC South winner before we move forward. Before we do anything else, I need your picks. All right.
Oh man.
That inspires a lot of confidence.
Well, the AFC South just looks kind of iffy. Maybe you want to go Jacksonville. Maybe you want to go Houston. I don't know. Everybody has faith in Indy. Like, I don't know. I think I'm just going to go Houston because I still like what CJ Stroud brings to the table.
All right.
They seem to have the most consistent team coaching-wise. They've got pieces around CJ Stroud. The offensive line is good. Their defense was top 10 in several categories, or at least top 15 for the Texans. So I go them winning. I think it'll probably be between them and Jacksonville, but hell, who knows? With Tennessee doing some new stuff, they could be up there too. Doubtful, but yeah.
All right, I got you down for Titans then.
All right.
NFC South, I had the Bucks. Who did you have? Did you go Panther?
No, I think
you went
I had
Falcons.
The Falcons.
Yeah,
yes.
You went Falcons. Jordan.
Gosh, those are...
I somehow had the Bucks winning the division at 7-10. I don't know how that's physical, not even possible. But.
Baker Mayfield, after all the contract stuff, is going to ball out of his ass.
Oh,
season.
We were just talking in the commercial break. He's pissed.
No, he is. He is on a level. He's like, yo, I appreciate the opportunity that you gave me, but now because I came through for you, pay me. And they didn't.
He threw around the word disrespected a lot in his press conference.
Which is never good to hear from anybody. Once somebody feels disrespected in a situation, usually that means a parting away from somebody.
Bucks sound like they were trying to call his bluff, but he called theirs. I think because of that, they're going to get a great season from him. Still so many weapons there, including a former Duck. And hey, did you know he was Bo Nix's brother and Tez Johnson? So I think it's going to be at least a 10-7 season for the Bucks. I think they'll win the division, but hear me out. I think it's going to be a wacky one. Panthers in second. Panthers?
Yeah. I said the Falcons, man. I think that Falcons squad, you know, especially offensively, you know, is really good. Now they have an offensive-minded head coach. Hey, man, I think the Falcons are going to be scary.
All right. Now let's move to the other divisions in this. AFC North and NFC North. NFC North is the Bears, the Packers, the Lions, the Vikings. Let's start with the Vikings. I mean, one, just say Kyler Murray is going to be your starter. Let's get that over with. And they're going to have a good defense. I think that is a given. And it's just a matter of, is Kevin O'Connell going to be able to get anything out of Kyler Murray? This is kind of Kyler's last shot anyways. But to me, if Kyler Murray is your option at this point in his career, boy, I mean, we'll see what happens, man. But I don't have a lot of faith that this season's going to go the way that they want it to. I'm looking at their schedule right now. Boy, they got a stretch where they got to play the Lions, Bills, Packers, 49ers, all in the middle of the season. And the Lions, Packers, 49ers games are all at their places. So, I mean, that is a tough travel schedule right there. Then they got to go to the Patriots week 14. I mean, I just don't see the Vikings having a great season. And as I go through their schedule, I got them at like 4-13, I guess. Just choosing wins and losses off the cuff. I got them at 4-13.
Yeah, I think we can all expect the Vikings to be the worst team in this division. And it sucks because Justin Jefferson is just so cold. Like, I mean, he's the best receiver in the league. Hopefully he can get the ball at some point. But when your quarterback can barely see over its offensive line and they've had five straight bad seasons, I don't really see it going super, super well for them. So I'm kind of with you. They have a great defense. Brian Flores always has those boys playing, pretty well, pretty stout. So that's the one thing you can expect from this team. But offensively, Kevin O'Connell isn't able to get them going. Like, I expect maybe 5 wins out of them.
So it really comes down to these 3 teams then in the division: Bears, Packers, Lions, and who's going to win it. The Bears obviously had that crazy season last year, where they were able to pull it out and get the win the division over the Packers. The Lions, obviously not making the playoffs last year. Going through the Lions' schedule, man, pretty favorable, honestly. They have a lot of easy games right away. Their first 5 games, they play the Bills in week 2, but outside of that, they play the Saints, Jets, Panthers, Cardinals, all in the first 5 weeks of the season, and then they get a bye week. So they very well could be 4-1 right away. Tough division, but again, they play the Dolphins, they play the Titans, they play the Giants. Like, those are a lot of winnable games. Going through their schedule initially, I got the Lions at 12-5, and quite frankly, they need to have a rebound season. Dan Campbell said the other day, he's like, this might be the only shot that we get, like, a couple of years ago. So, like, in missing the playoffs last year, this is a pivotal season for Dan Campbell and the Lions.
I agree with you, man. You look at their schedule, it might be one of the more favorable schedules of anybody in football. Now, there are a couple tough games in there. You know, you got the Pats, you'll have the Bucks, you'll have the Bears, the Falcons, who I think is going to win their division. So you'll have some teams that you have to go in there and beat. But for the most part, I don't see them losing any more than 5 or 6 games. So they should be able to win this division with about 11 wins.
And just looking at the Packers' schedule now, I mean, it's a mixed bag for them as well, as far as, like, the beginning part of the season. They start on the road first 2 weeks against the Vikings and Jets. I mean, even being on the road, that Vikings one, that might be a tough one. Beginning of the season, just
defense
weird.
And everything.
We saw last year.
At Minnesota, yeah.
Maybe it wasn't last year or the year before. Minnesota, they had a win against the 49ers at home where it was just like they absolutely stopped them. I think it maybe was last year, like week 5 or something, week 4, week 5. Where the 49ers got absolutely trounced in Minnesota. They've got Bears, Cowboys, Lions, Panthers, Patriots. Just going through the schedule initially, and then the Rams right after the bye week. They got to play the Bills. They got to play the Texans. I mean, they've got a pretty tough schedule this year, all things considered. And running through it, I got the Packers around that 9-8, 10-7 range.
I don't know.
It's a tough schedule, I think.
It is, and I think you think with, with their improved defense, they should be a little bit better. I'd probably say somewhere around 9 wins. I'm looking here on the schedule. I think it'd be easy to trip up first game of the season against the Vikings. But after that, then you've got, the Falcons, who I think very highly of, then the Bucks, the Bears. We don't know what we're going to get back from the Cowboys. We assume the game is at least going to be competitive. From them.
Maybe another tie, right?
And then you got the Lions from there. So they got a pretty tough schedule. I don't expect the Panthers to win their division, but I do expect them to be competitive. So looking at their schedule, and it's like there's no gimmies, at all on the Packers' schedule. They're going to have to go out and fight to win a lot of games. But with that, I think they're talented enough to at least win 10 of those.
And it's funny. Never mind. I was looking at this list opposite. So based off of last year's win-loss record and everything, the Packers have the fourth most difficult schedule in the NFL this year.
It looks like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there are no easy games there.
Bad
there
luck
no,
of the draw.
No, you know, yeah. You know who has the hardest schedule in the NFL?
The Bears.
The Bears. That is true. They, based off of last year's win percentage, hardest schedule in the NFL.
I do love how they do that.
But kind of favorable to start. I mean, they got to go to Carolina right away. But then they get three straight home games against the Vikings, Eagles, and Jets. So that very well could be a 3-1 or 4-0 start for the Bears. Then they got to go to Green Bay. They got to go to Atlanta. They get the Patriots at home. Got to go to Seattle. It's a really back and forth. Outside of those three games, it's just kind of like back and forth home in a way for the next like 2 months for them.
Yeah, you have two games at home against the Buccaneers, which will, you know, will be a good one. But then the Saints, which should be a nice win for you.
So week five away, week six away, and then it goes home, away, home, bye, home, away, home, away, away, home, home, away. Like, there's no like real good consistency for them. It's just this back and forth of traveling. And some of those are, I mean, they're in Chicago, so it's not that bad of travel, but they're going having to go to coastlines each time, seemingly. Like, yeah. They're going from Atlanta to back home, and then to Seattle, to back home, to New Orleans, to back home, to Detroit. Like, it is a lot of travel.
It's a lot of travel.
In that two-month time frame there.
It's a lot of travel, but I think this team is... They showed us a lot last year, and in year two with Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson, I mean, the offense is going to be right where they should be. Luther Burden III is probably going to be somebody they really rely on the to catch the ball. So, man, I don't know. I like this Bears.
Well, now
team.
That DJ Moore's gone, I mean, yeah
he's going to get a lot of the targets.
He's going to get some more.
Rome better do something. Rome might be on his last legs, like because his first couple seasons have not been great. So Rome, this is really a prove it year for him. But all that said, man. I would probably see them winning the division still. I think they're a great team. They do have a hard schedule, but man, that damn Caleb Williams is really, really, really good.
And even with that tough schedule, as I go through the wins and losses and everything, yeah, I got the Bears at 13-4.
I got the Bears. You got 13. I said 12, but yeah, I think 13 is cool.
I mean, losing to the Bills. Losing to the Seahawks at home, losing to the Green Bay Packers at home, and then just dropping week one to the Carolina Panthers at home. Like, just a weird week one, you know, whatever. It happens. Yeah,
I think the Seahawks are going to take a little step back. I think they're going to win that game against Seattle at home.
Ooh. So, for the NFC North, we're going Bears?
The Bears.
We're going Bears? Jordan, are you going Bears?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I like Chicago, but I just think Detroit, I mean – They're not.
I want Detroit to win.
I totally understand. Here's why I think they are going to. They had offensive and defensive coordinators robbed from them. Their continuity was affected a little bit coaching-wise. I bet you last year, along with the injury to Aiden Hutchinson kind of leading into that, yeah, a little bit of stability issues for a team that's really been there. And they still are there. I love their offense. I mean, God, Jahmyr Gibbs and Amon-Ra St. Brown are still two of the top fantasy picks in everybody's
draft.
And
Jay Will, too.
Thank you. Yeah. Exactly.
They got weapons, man.
Their defense is good, too. They're great at pass rushing. Like, every other team, I feel like, obviously Minnesota sucks, but like every other team in this division has flaws I think Detroit can exploit. And Detroit still has a higher floor than Chicago. I think Detroit is a potential 14-game winner this year. So let's go Lions. The only issue I have with that is they do have an international game against your Patriots, Rashad. One of their home games is actually, I think, in Germany.
Yeah, I was going to say, though, yeah. I give the edge to the Lions because Amon-Ra St. Brown is part German.
German connection there.
He speaks German, so I feel like that's kind of like coming back to the homeland for
Christian
him.
Gonzalez is part badass, so I don't know. I don't know what that means, but yeah. We got something for him.
City of Detroit.
We got a break. But another thing, as far as the Lions go, very intrigued to see what happens with Jahmyr Gibbs this year with no David Montgomery. Mm. He is now with the Houston Texans, and he had been awesome for them the last couple of years. Very intrigued to see what Jahmyr Gibbs, that running back room, looks like next season. Take a quick break. And then we will get into the AFC North, the Browns, the Bengals, the Steelers, and the Ravens next. Sports Saturday, Fan Sports.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking some Young Hansen in the commercial break, baby.
Hot Young talk.
Yeah, man.
Pretty much showed exactly what he did at Summer League last year.
Yeah, well, I was telling Rashad, I was like, watching him in Summer League, I'm like, damn, man, he can ball. And I'm like, damn, man, this is Summer League.
Damn, man, these are 20-year-olds that'll never play in the NBA, man.
Yeah, I mean, but I just want to see how he moves is more important. But we can talk about that another time.
Yeah. When we actually get to talk Blazers basketball in maybe like a month, month and a half or something like that.
Whenever this whole spiel is over. I'd rather talk about basketball because talking about the other stuff is depressing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. All right. AFC North now. The Ravens, the Bengals, the Steelers, and the Browns. By the way, I was just curious who is in that running back room for the Lions now that David Montgomery is gone. Isaiah Pacheco.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
He will be backing up Jahmyr Gibbs. Want to talk about a guy who never stops moving his legs.
No.
Isaiah Pacheco is, you know,
if you needed a nice little 8 points in fantasy. He was good for that sometime.
Or it's like, hey.
Or give you 15 all of a sudden one day. It's like, okay,
even in just football where it's just like, Isaiah, all we need is just like 2 yards. He's like, I'm going to get you five.
I got you, bro.
I'm going to make sure.
Seven, you say?
Dude, he is.
Not a problem.
Like, he's not this amazing electric running back, but just I just appreciate his I am going to die.
I got you.
Fighting, running this.
That's what you needed, a running back.
Yes. So, anyways, NFC or AFC North, Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, Browns. Let's start with the predicted division winner in the Cleveland Browns. Wait, maybe not.
Oh, we don't think Cleveland's going to win?
No, oh, I do not. Yeah, unfortunately not. Hmm. So let's, looking at their schedule here. I mean, yeah, I somehow have them beating the Panthers in week 3 in Cleveland. This is the thing about the Browns. The Browns at home sometimes are weird. And in a good weird, where they win games that they shouldn't. They win ugly games. They beat divisional opponents at home. I would love to see what the Browns' home record is over the last, like, few years, just because it seems like...
They get some dubs at home.
Yes. Seems like that is the only place they ever get dubs.
Yeah.
And they get some good ones from time to time. But with that being said, running through their schedule here real quick... What are we thinking? 3 wins? 4 wins? You don't have Myles Garrett anymore. There goes probably a win in itself.
Well, that's maybe a couple even, wins in itself.
Maybe two. Yeah.
You win ugly because you have a guy like Myles Garrett that can keep it honest on the defensive end. But I mean, they do eke some wins out at home. I don't know, man. I'd probably say 4 or 5 wins. I mean,
I went through the schedule and I got him with that 6-11 somehow. It's them winning games at home, man. It's they play the Raiders at home. I could see that that point Fernando Mendoza's playing, getting to a rookie quarterback. They're hosting the Falcons at home. The Falcons, I hope that the Falcons have a good year. Hope their offense is better because they're going to need that in that game. Looking at some other home games that they got, I mean. They got the Steelers at home, but they'll probably drop that. They host the Panthers. I could see them winning that one in week 3. Like, again, it's just these quirky Brown wins.
Yeah, they're always going to eke a couple out against their division rivals, right? So I can see them beating the Steelers at least once. I could see them beating the Bengals at least once,
The back half or the back third of their schedule, they have a bye week in week 11. But after that, it's the Raiders, it's the Bengals, it's the Falcons, it's the Giants,
the Colts,
the Ravens, the Colts, the Bengals again. So, I mean, like, they can get some wins towards the end of the season to make it a less ugly season.
Man, listen, just losing Myles Garrett is going to be a huge shift, for this team. But for the most part, like, I still think they can win some games. I don't think it'll be many. I think Shador has a lot of potential, but he is playing in – arguably the toughest division in all of NFL, right? So that's going to provide its own set of challenges for him. But yeah, ultimately, I just don't think that the team has enough. Not just Shador. I just don't think the team has enough to really be as competitive as they need to be. So
hey,
I'd give the Browns 5, maybe 6 wins.
You know who they do have, though? Harold Fanning Jr.
Oh, no.
Absolutely love Harold Fanning Jr. You know who Harold Fanning Jr. is.
Probably.
He was a rookie last year. He came from Bowling Green. And me and my buddy Tanner, we do the podcast, the Fish and Toast podcast. He put me on to Harold Fanning Jr. at Bowling Green. Mm-hmm. He is awesome.
Okay.
At our fantasy football,
I'll check him out.
At our fantasy football trip in a couple weeks, there's going to be there. He's getting picked high.
Okay.
Whether it's me or my buddy Tanner or a few other, like Harold Fanning's probably going like round 8.
Oh.
Round 7.
All right.
I'm telling you, man.
Listen up, all you fantasy gurus.
Dude, I didn't believe it. I was like, tight end from Bowling Green. I watched him that year. Insane senior year.
Okay, Harold.
And then he was great last year for the Browns.
Nice little dark horse for you all.
Moving it along to the, similar to the NFC North, the three teams in the AFC North that are going to be probably vying for the divisional crown, the Ravens, Bengals, and Steelers. I would say the Steelers are probably going to finish third in the division. I mean, Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, that team. Yes, they did get Michael Pittman, an additional option out there on the outside, but I can't trust Aaron Rodgers to have an Aaron Rodgers season at this point in his career.
Wait till you hear my pick.
And but what's funny is that they're talking about, and who's the new OC over there? Over in Pittsburgh. But basically, they're talking about incorporating some more play action, some more pre-snap motion, a little bit more disguise, get him out of the pocket. And I'm sure Matt LaFleur is...
Get who out of the pocket?
Rodgers a little bit. Again, play action, right? You know, you play action to the right and do a little boot out and then just post up, you know.
You're trying to get Aaron Rodgers to run somewhere or make plays for himself?
Aaron Rodgers, the last 15, 20 years, it's basically, snap it to me, I'll find you. They want to try and mask some of this deficiencies probably in his game now because of age. Like, it's not just like snap the ball and shotgun, give it to Aaron and watch him do his thing.
Yeah, I think, but
he can't do that anymore.
When he used to do that, there was the fear of Aaron Rodgers taking off on you because he could, right? He was mobile enough to still get out of the pocket and make something happen with his legs and, you know, get into the sideline or something. But I don't expect 42, how old is he now?
No, he still got out of the pocket 40, a couple of times last year.
He did, crazy, but I mean, but run. now you're acting like you're designing the plays for him to potentially be able to bail you out. But sometimes, you know, so I don't know. It didn't work the last time that they ended their tenure in Green Bay. So I'm not super confident they'll do that in Green Bay this year or in Pittsburgh this year. I'm sorry.
I think I like Pittsburgh.
Going through their schedule, looking at it. It's a pretty tough schedule, too, man. I mean, they play a lot of good to great teams. I mean, week one, Falcons, whatever. But then you got the Patriots, you got the Bengals, you got the Bucks. And then after your bye week, this is after your bye week. Week 9, bye week for the Steelers. You then go to Cincinnati, to Philadelphia. You host the Broncos. You host the Texans. You go to Jacksonville. You host the Ravens. That is immediately after your bye week. That is 6 straight weeks after your bye week of playing really good teams. Bengals, Eagles, Broncos, Texans, Jags, Ravens.
It doesn't end
that
there.
Is a tough
it doesn't
6
end
week
there.
Stretch.
Because then you got to play the Panthers, who are probably going to be fighting for a playoff spot or trying to get there. And then if you done enough in your season, if you haven't, you have to salvage your last game, which is against the Ravens. Or against that defense, because would you expect most of those guys to play? So, I think it sucks, man.
I go through the schedule, and you know what I'm getting with this Steelers team?
5, 6 wins?
No. 8-9. Under 500.
Mm-hmm.
If they finish under 500, Pittsburgh is going to lose their mind.
Oh, my God.
Well, they were the ones calling Mike Tomlin every freaking
They need to send Mike Tomlin gift
baskets. Even just one game under 500, they're like, see? Why'd we fire Tomlin?
But this is what you wanted, right?
How good they've had it.
But that's what you wanted, right? You wanted to be, at least be this way. Show us that we're doing something. Okay, fine. Here you go.
Could you, like, they have been the bastion of a great organization with how many coaching hires over the last, like, 70 years? 3? Not literally 70, but about 45. Like, come on. Like, they got what they asked for. Although I like their roster this year. I'm serious. I think I'm going to pick the Steelers to win this division, guys.
Oh, my God.
I'm dead serious. I know.
You dog.
They're third on the betting lines right now. I think it's the Ravens and right around the same. I don't think there's much difference is the Bengals. So people think that they're going to be on top. But, man, I like what they're doing. I like Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy as a combo. In a cold weather division, guys, that's a lot of field goal games. Those teams that you were just mentioning, are they hard games? Abso-freaking-lutely. But Their kicker's really good, man. Like, seriously, go.
Chris Boswell's good.
He is.
I just love how that went. I did not see you going that
but
way.
But that's how games are decided in Pittsburgh, are they not? It's not touchdowns. You guys are talking about trying to design the game around an aging Aaron Rodgers.
Lots of field goals.
Exactly. It's going to be a lot of running.
Lots of
6-3
games.
It's going to be a lot of field goals.
AFC North.
As long as their defense can hold, which they've always been able to do, TJ Watt still kicks ass in this league. I don't see why Aaron Rodgers, with his last run ever, like, it sometimes it gets special. I'm not saying he's going to throw for 5,000 yards, but I bet we're going to see a couple of special moments, and I see Pittsburgh winning 10 or 11 games. It's a hard schedule, but a lot of those games, guys, cold weather division. It's going to come down to some grittiness, and Pittsburgh is damn good in those
games. I'll
give
him 7.
All right.
I got him at 8-9, and I have the Bengals 12-5, Ravens 14-3, Ravens getting the division. I think the Bengals are going to have a good year. I think they're going to bounce back. I think Joe Burrow, Shamar Stewart avoided a major injury on the defensive side, hyperextended knee. He'll probably miss some time. I don't know what it is about the Bengals. Joe Burrow lately has started to shift the mentality. Like, in the offseason at the beginning, it was like, is Joe Burrow depressed? Does he need to talk to someone?
Whenever we start dying, your tips, like, things are going south, man.
His mentality, like, with training camp, it's starting to change a little bit. And I have a feeling, especially with Ja'Marr Chase, that he's going to want another contract here soon. I mean,
and they better give it to him.
I think the Bengals are going to put up numbers. It's always the defense that's the problem, but I think this is the year that the Bengals are going to make their defense just a little bit better to help out that offense.
Yeah.
And get a playoff spot. Not win the division, but get a playoff spot.
Yeah, I think losing Hendrickson on the defensive end sucked, you know, for this Bengals team, but they were able to pick up Dexter Lawrence and Jonathan Allen.
Bengals have the third easiest schedule as well.
And here's something we're not saying. The Bengals have the only head coach that's returning to their team. Like, everybody else in the division has a brand new head coach.
Sure.
So at least, yeah, you know, Zach Taylor can come in and with his team that they already know, with this quarterback that's already, you know, an all-pro type dude, that you can have some stuff. And then arguably the second or third best receiver in the league in Ja'Marr Chase. I do think the Bengals are going to be much better if they can protect their quarterback. So give me 10 wins for the Bengals.
Wasn't Zach Taylor just on a hot seat, though?
Yeah.
He was.
Like,
if you can't win this year with all these new head coaches in your division, then amen.
All of a sudden, 7 months later, after wanting, you know, to be fired, now Vegas has them plus 100 to win the division. Like, that kind of stuff is crazy to me. So,
all right, we're up against it, but I got me and you, Rashad, Bears, and Jordan for Lions. I got you and me for Ravens.
That's correct.
And Steelers for Jordan.
Steelers.
All right. There is the NFC North.
Easy
and
peasy.
The NFC North.
I hope Casey Smith loves my pick.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does. Take a quick break and talk about the two Kyles. Do that next here. But first, Jordan Schultz, Sports Center.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
I was yapping with Rashad during the commercial break there.
Yeah, it's talking.
Apologies.
Hot nuptials talk.
Hot nuptials, weddings, marriages, all sorts of stuff. Love is in the air. Real quickly, this segment, I wanted to get to this. The two Kyles is what I call it. And those two Kyles are Kyle Shanahan and Kyle Kuzma. Have you heard about what's happening with Kyle Shanahan?
I have heard about Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan got in a car accident a month or so ago.
Glad he's okay.
He is okay. He did get some pretty serious injuries, like broke his ribs, severe concussion, 40 stitches,
almost
all this.
Almost lost an eye.
Yeah, they were saying if the cut was a little bit higher, he could have gotten blind. Is that not good, dude? Was he drunk? DUI? Was he under that? No.
We don't know.
Well, I don't know who to trust, because what happened initially was it was apparently a quote unquote clerical error by the police department that they put in their police report that it was the woman's fault that caused the car crash. It was not Mr. Shanahan's fault that caused it.
Jackasses.
Kyle Shanahan. And this is, it goes to show, like, this is how low the bar is for coaches to just be decent human beings. He went out of his way to tell the story of what happened, where he was driving and his phone fell down in, like, the crevice of his, he was like, I was not on my phone, but my phone did fall out of my lap into the crevice of my car.
Dude.
Into his, He went down to reach for it.
I learned that lesson 20
and
years
then,
ago.
Boom, airbags
that
in
fast.
The face.
You don't bend down to get your phone while you're driving.
And he admitted all of it, and he said it was my fault. It was not her fault. The 49ers were like legitimately trying to cover this up for some reason, which I have no idea why, what any benefit. And the police obviously like made a clerical error. A clerical error is typing a D instead of an S on accident.
Mm-hmm. Well, then they came out and said that it was officer's discretion as to why Kyle Shanahan was not charged in the crash that was his fault. Because, guys, I got into a crash just trying to turn across traffic in Gresham when I was going to Mount Hood Community College. I was cited with failure to yield to oncoming traffic. Mm-hmm. $300 ticket, but like at the least, he's not, we don't have to charge him, but he's not cited with like a couple of $1,000 worth of tickets because of what he did. Like, come on.
Okay, my apologies to set the record straight. Report, Kyle Shanahan was holding, using cell phone at the time of the incident is what it says.
Also dumb.
But yeah, I mean like, is that worth covering up? Like,
dummy. Yes, illegal. You should have a ticket for it because you are. It is an at-fault accident. I'm sure he has insurance. And luckily,
this isn't Vrabel. That might need it. Needed a cover up.
It's easy for Shanahan to come out and admit this compared to Vrabel. It's like, well, like you said, Joe, it's like
the bar's pretty low.
Yeah, what a low bar.
Who's
for
the
guys?
Other guy that just got a DUI? Somebody else just got a DUI. Like. A week ago, within the last week. I can't remember, like the last 2 weeks or something like that. I can't remember.
Was Tony Romo?
Was it Romo? There you go. You know, so there it is. That's who it was.
Yeah.
Thank you. I couldn't hear exactly what he was saying. But yeah, Joe's quarterback was, you know, taken in for DUI. Now, if it was something like that and he were drunk or something, then absolutely. Like, I could see why the cover up. But this was just a bunch of 49er fans who were also officers of the law. They were like, keep this between us. Yeah. Nobody has to know about this, but it's like, this isn't, I wasn't doing anything illegal. There were no hookers in the car. Like, what's the problem?
Very bizarre situation. I don't know what the 49ers are doing.
Alcohol, hookers, and cocaine are the only reason stuff is ever really covered up like that, you know, and that wasn't the case.
Guys, I'll throw this out there publicly. This is just tinfoil hat conspiracy theory here, right? Since we just dealt with the Vrabel thing, was Shanahan not necessarily maybe cheating on his wife, like allegedly doing something on his phone, but was he doing something he shouldn't have done
sexting?
On his phone? And that's why we're not really talking about it past this.
Why don't you send me a picture?
Of course, the idea comes to my mind. That is not proven. That is just a stupid little conspiracy theory that I'm putting on.
Well, one of the comments on the Reddit post about this, an NFL head coach accepting responsibility for his own F up at 2026. Imagine that.
Mm-mm. That is,
so
it'll never happen.
That's the one Kyle. The other Kyle is Kyle Kuzma, who for some reason now has become this like philosophical like quote machine and has to comment on everything and, you know, is a man of the people. Have you been seeing like some of his tweets lately?
Kyle Kuzma is not somebody that I follow. No.
Okay. No, I don't follow him either. It's just, you know, it's been showing up more
man,
and more.
I wonder what Kyle Kuzma's talking about right now. Let me go check.
So, but it's a lot of like the other day he was defending the Blazers. He's like some of the best fans in the league. I mean, he has been going.
Thank you, Kyle.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. I mean, he's been doing everything like all sorts
but basketball.
Of. Yeah, it's like
but basketball.
He has been commenting on all sorts of social issues, whatever. But the most recent one, like enough to where I'm like, damn, dude, all right, Kuzma, like, all right, maybe he's
all right, man.
Okay, cool. Until just the other day.
Okay.
So what happened was basically the the mayor of New York, Mamdani.
Okay.
He was talking about how we need to. I believe like it had to do with like gambling, sports gambling, and it essentially like made it more restrictive for prediction markets like Kalshi and Polymarket. I think he's trying to make those just basically illegal in New York, whatever the case. I don't care. Basically, he wants those prediction markets like gone.
Okay.
And Kyle Kuzma decided to make a comment on it, talking about all of this. And turns out the governor of New York was like, oh, and you are just so above board on this, right? Kyle Kuzma is a Kalshi endorser. So he was going off about how bad this is for, you know, and trying to be like a man of the people in this situation, as he's been doing the last few weeks.
Don't they sponsor you?
And then, yeah, the governor of New York tweeted at him and was like, and you're above board on all this?
Hey, man, listen.
And then Kyle had to come out and be like, when I first, and then someone found an old tweet from like 10 months ago about when him investing in Kalshi. So it was just like Kyle Kuzma, all the goodwill that he built up in like 2 weeks. Like, damn, dude. All right.
Gone.
You're right. You know, and Kyle's right. And this is what I'll say. If you are a political figure, listen, I would just keep it politics and everything. And I wouldn't start going at people about digging up dirt on stuff, because pretty sure, and I could be wrong, Kyle Kuzma might have just a little more money than you do and can probably hire all type of investigators to find out a little dirt on you. I'm always really squeamish about political figures coming out on Twitter or Instagram or whatever and saying something that might be damning to somebody else, trying to call someone else out. Like, it usually doesn't end well.
Okay. I got more context here for you. Apologies. But New York is suing Kalshi over alleged illegal gambling operation. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, sure. I mean, whatever. Do you, boo-boo. Kuzma responded to that tweet saying Kalshi offered New York a plan that would have brought in $10 billion over 5 years for public schools and healthcare. Hochul's response is to ban them to protect the casino lobby. Politicians losing the plot. Makes you wonder what really motivates these politicians. The governor's press offense responded, but your motivations are pure, right? And that's all they said. And then a tweet from not even 10 months, it was from May, May 29th. Kuzma tweeted, when I first invested in Kalshi, the idea of launching regulated perps felt ambitious, yet obtainable after meeting one of the engineers, like Lior. For those not deep into market structure and derivatives, this is a very big deal. After years of waiting, perpetual futures are coming on shore, only on Kalshi.
Man, his PR person drafted that. Kyle Kuzma did not say that.
That was on May 29th. He said that, and literally, 2 months later, it comes back to bite him in the ass after he tried to do this whole conscious awoken person of the people.
After you got your money,
let me tweet and clap back at people and show that how knowledgeable I am about the real world here. And immediately,
that's the danger of putting stuff out there in this day of social media. Like, people can find out. Receipt. What's the term? Receipts.
Yeah.
You know, people keep them, and so you got to be mindful of what you're saying, what you're typing out here. That's the way that works.
I love internet comments. I understand that they can also be the worst thing on the internet, but people are just clever. People are funny.
People are super clever.
They crack me the hell up. And so one of the comments on this story was like, getting clapped back by a governor is low-key hilarious.
It is.
Like, as an NBA player, if a governor of a state embarrasses you
of New York, it'd be different if it was like Poughkeepsie or something like that. But this is like the governor of New York. Like, ouch. Ouch, Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah,
who should feel kind of honored that somebody's paying attention to me, because Kyle Kuzma's been asked.
Yeah.
He's been asked for a long time. So, yeah.
And another comment: R.I.P. pseudo intellectuous Kyle Kuzma, 2026 to 2026.
Yeah, didn't last long.
Not at all. All right, we're up against it. Let's wrap up the show next with some fun audio. Do that here, Sports Saturday, Fan Sports Network. All right, last segment here. Let's just get to this audio. Tonight, the Portland Timbers play the Seattle Sounders. They played a couple weeks ago in Seattle, and the Timbers just 5-1.
Boots to
ass. Smack that ass. So I believe it was either against FC Dallas, one of the games a week or so ago. They set up a microphone outside of the stadium, the Portland Timbers, and it said on a piece of paper, leave a message for Seattle fans for tonight's game, for when they are coming to Portland, right? And what they did with this video is they only took the parts from children. So what you're about to hear is literally all just children and what they have to say to the Seattle Sounders.
Seattle sucks.
Seattle sucks.
Cook the fish. Build a bonfire, build a bonfire, put Seattle on the top, put Vancouver in the middle, and we'll burn the f***ing lot.
Bye-bye, Seattle, you're going down. Watch out on August 1st, 5-1 repeat.
You suck, we're going to beat your
Seattle sucks.
We're going to gut the fish.
Seattle sucks.
Last game, 5-1, and we weren't even at home. This time, we're at home. What do you think the score will be this time?
Got the fish.
5-1.
What's up, Seattle? You're going down, Sounders.
Hey, Seattle, we're going to destroy you.
Seattle, you are trash. You suck.
Y'all suck. 5-1.
Seattle.
Seattle, you came to get your cooked.
This is a fish.
Got the fish.
Got the fish.
Got the fish.
And Seattle still sucks.
Number one, where'd they find all these badass kids at? They were all at the game?
Dude.
We're making our own soccer hooligans.
That is one of the best things I've seen come out of this city.
That,
throw them on the effing lot.
That is World Cup all day.
I would, if my son, he's like, hey, can I go somewhere? I'm like, go ahead and cuss. I don't care. Uh-huh. Go for it. I'm giving you a free pass on this one,
yeah,
bud.
Yeah, like, but don't do it tomorrow, but this is okay.
It's really funny when kids cuss, you know, so like go to a concert and kid was like, you know, go to Chris Brown. And so, you know, turn, look, hey, this song has cussing in it. Can I cuss? Go for it, bro.
All right.
You got it.
You get a hall pass today.
Do your thing. But no, that's awesome. You know,
the kids are all right.
And it's one of those things, like when you grow up around it as a kid, you end up just loving the sport. So we're going to have a whole, moving forward, Portland's going to be rich with soccer.
Dude, 2015 is when I started watching soccer more. Timbers, you know, English Premier League, all that stuff. It started to increase more and more over the years because of my son and how much he loves soccer. The World Cup just, dude, poured gasoline on it. And after the World Cup, my son and I, it's just like, dude, soccer is now fully ingrained in my life.
Football is life.
Where I can't escape it at this point. And where it's just like, dude, someone offers me tickets for the Sounders Timbers game, you bet your ass I'll be there. Let's go.
Yeah.
Well, I hope to see you all there at the at Providence Park tonight. It's going to be an awesome environment. It's going to be so much fun.
I will be watching Music Soul Child at
that's right.
Yeah, at Unthanked Park. So totally free. So come out and kick it.
Come kick it out there. Come kick it wherever. Come kick it in Portland today because Portland is awesome and Seattle sucks.
Yes, it is. 5-1.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you as always.
Yeah, love you guys. Love you all.
Rashad, appreciate you as always.
Watatama, Damien.
I will be out next weekend. I am efforting to not miss the weekend after. In fact, try and take some on-location remote broadcast equipment with me so I don't miss 2 weeks in a row.
Well, on the 14th, I still got to get it cleared, but that's my wife's birthday, so I doubt I'll be here. Right, yeah, right. Like, what,
show
yeah.
me how to do the board. I got it, fellas.
All right, for Jordan Schultz, Rashad Taylor, I'm Joe Fisher. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us. We will catch you next week at 9 a.m. Peace.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.